You're listening to the Tree of Life podcast, where we desire to be a bridge between the two covenantal peoples, physical Israel and spiritual Israel, by inspiring the non-Jewish part of Messiah's body to reconnect with its Jewish roots through biblical teaching and worshipful demonstrations, and to work towards greater understanding and reconciliation between Messiah's body and traditional Judaism. And now, here's Rabbi Joel Lieberman.
As we open up this special service in prayer today, a little bit of a different service today, if you would join me in a word of prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Yitzchak, God of Yaakov, the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua. We will not forget, O God, that 6 million of our people have perished. We will not forget its lessons. That the evil in the heart of man is great, Lord, beyond our understanding. We will not forget. Father, that some were noble and righteous and stood with us in darkness. That our nation, O God, has experienced the curses of the covenant at so many points in our history. We must have missed your will, Lord. We must have missed your will somewhere, for you promised covenant protections. That you have given authority to man in this earth. And apart from your ruach, your spirit, almost unlimited evil can be done, O God, we will not forget. That you've not left us a remnant. Had you not left us a remnant, O God, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. We will not forget that your new covenant people were weak in prayer in Europe and could not prevent the horrors of that day. We will forget, Father, that in your mercy, Israel was born out of destruction. The dry bones live. For you have promised to Abraham, our father, that we would not be utterly cut off. We will not forget that we must not accept our dispersion with ease. We are not to become like the other nations. We will not. That you have begun to turn us toward yourself. The blindness toward Messiah is lifting. The church returns to favor Zion and its Jewish origins. The day of our redemption draws near. We will not forget. That you will yet bring us, O God, to fulfill our destiny in the middle of all nations. Though Hasatan sought to destroy us, to thwart your plan, the word of the Lord will go forth from Zion. We will not forget. And as our Messiah on that fateful day sat on the Mount of Olives and he wept for Jerusalem, so you also wept at the pain and the suffering of your people. In compassion, Lord, you experience every sorrow. We will not. Eternal wrath awaits the unrepentant evil who do evil. You did not forget your people Israel. Your righteous judgment will prevail. We will not forget. Blessed are you, Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, for you remember your covenants forever. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu, Avinu Malkeinu, ki ata britim leolam. Many still wonder what the Holocaust tells us about God. But it seems the better question for us today is what the Holocaust tells us about the human heart. As for Adonai himself, I believe that he tells us how he feels toward this kind of suffering in his word. In fact, through Solomon, he wrote these words, quote, rescue those being dragged off to death. Hold back those stumbling to slaughter. If you say, look, we didn't know this, won't he who weighs hearts perceive it? Won't he who guards your soul know it? Won't he repay each one according to his deeds? Proverbs 24:11. And while we grieve, as God does, as we remember today the one-third of our Jewish people who perished, we should also recall, if it was not for the intervention of the Holy One, the remaining two-thirds of us would not have survived. You know, explaining the Holocaust is really about explaining millions of personal stories. They're so horrendous. These stories are so beastly. These stories that few people can bear to hear them. We're going to hear some this morning. The late Holocaust survivor and Nobel Peace Prize winner Elie Wiesel once wrote this, quote, sometimes I am asked if I know the response to Auschwitz. I answer that not only do I not know it, but that I don't even know if a tragedy of this magnitude has a response. What I do know is that there is response in responsibility. It's been well understood among the Jewish people that one of the primary ways to fight the type of anti-Semitism that eventually led to the Holocaust is to educate the broader public with respect to both the historical developments as well as the specific intellectual patterns of thought that made such a horrific event even possible in our world. In addition, not only are there widespread differences in responses between Jews and non-Jews, even within the Jewish community globally, we remember very differently. You see, we as a Messianic Jewish community are gathered this morning to observe Holocaust Remembrance Day. It is a day, I believe, that takes on even greater urgency as more survivors die every year, more deniers become more brazen, and haters of Israel and our Jewish people fling language of the Holocaust against our people and against our politics. For today's Jewish community, my friends, there's no other event as important, no other event as disturbing, no other event as horrifying, no other event that has done more to shape self-identity and galvanize commitment to our survival as Jews and continuity as Jews than the murder of 6 million of our people in Europe. We proclaim the slogan, never again, even though signs everywhere point to an extreme rise in anti-Semitism all over the world. The Anti-Defamation League has reported that anti-Semitic hate crimes in this country have seen the largest single-digit jumps in the past few years. Today, people outwardly express their hatred toward the Jewish people. Whether it's a 4,000-word manifesto of a 19-year-old who opened fire nearly 2 years ago on men, women, and children praying at a Poway synagogue, murdering Lori Gilbert Kay and wounding Chabad Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein, Almog Peretz and his 8-year-old niece, Noya Dahan, originally from Sderot, Israel, or open statements by politicians like Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar going back to 2012, blaming the Jews for the world's problems. The sickness of hating Jews just because they are Jews is spreading like a cancer, and it reaches people old and young, school kids and adults. And that's not to even mention the media rise against Israel. One-sided pro-Palestinianism, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, BDS, and the resurgence of replacement, repackaged as a principle of social justice, are all on the rise. You know, when the Israeli government and the American government, Jewish leaders, rather, got together and they first established this day on the Jewish calendar to remember the 6 million of our people murdered in Europe, it was the late 1940s, and we were really just coming to terms with the unspeakable horrors, plagues, and losses that occurred. And so when Holocaust Remembrance Day was established on April the 12th, 1951, there was finally the opportunity to mourn public. Thousands of families were wiped out without even one grave marker being erected. Survivors had to start again, new lives, without mothers, without their fathers, without their husbands and wives, without their children, without their brothers and sisters. And over the years, as we move forward from that date, more horror stories began to come forward. This did not happen in secret. World leaders knew it was happening and either gave it their tacit approval or were reluctant to recognize the scope that was occurring. Holocaust Remembrance Day is a painful reminder of unspeakable evil made manifest in a civilized world. We remember the Holocaust every year in order to make sure that it never happens again, lest we forget. The fact remains that a failure to remember the Holocaust means a failure to learn and a greater chance of repeating history. And so when Jewish leaders in Israel and America debated about this need for a Holocaust Remembrance Day, they were hesitant to create a day so focused on death and loss and powerlessness. And that's why Israel's Knesset designated the 27th day of the Jewish month of Nisan that coincided with the start of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. You remember our Jewish people at that time managed an unparalleled demonstration of courage at that time. That act of resistance by our people was a sign that we could fight back, even if in the end we failed. And in that way, the memory of persecution and death is linked with the recollection of Jewish valor. Holocaust, it's an English name, isn't it, for the genocide of 6 million of our Jewish people in the Nazi death camps of Europe. The name actually was taken from the Greek word holocauston, a translation of the Hebrew word olah, meaning referring to a burnt offering that is totally consumed. Yet, were our 6 million Jewish people really burnt on some altar as an offering in the service of God? Perhaps Shoah is a better word from the Hebrew meaning destruction or calamity. My friends, the Shoah is always with us, not just one day a year, not just one service, but it's with us all. The evil of the Shoah, it's been cross-examined from every single angle, but we continue striving even today to understand it fully. Hundreds of books, thousands of articles have been written, have described the devastation in one way or another, analyzing the events, analyzing the shattered lives from a political perspective, a sociological perspective, a historical perspective, and like the tattooed numbers on our Jewish souls, that were placed on Jewish arms by the Nazis, its memory of pain and horror, treachery and murder, that is tattooed on the souls of our people. And we today still feel that stranglehold 70 plus years later as a people in our vastly diminished numbers. Oh, we are still here. Yes, a small remnant, we are still here. But between assimilation, between a low birth rate, between conversion to other religions, our numbers as a people are small and they are shrinking. We are an insignificant percentage of the world's population. Europe, once thriving Jewish life, is today a shadow of its former self. But throughout our history, no matter how terrible a challenge that we have faced or tragedy that we endured as a Jewish people, we have never lost. We are moved by the words found in a concentration camp wall that said, I believe in the sun when it is not shining. I believe in love when I don't feel it. I believe in God and He is silent. Above all else, our responsibility in the face of the great calamity that is the Shoah is never to lose hope. Adversary behind Hitler, the victory that he has been denied. You see, Hitler understood something. He understood that it was possible to steal hope by systematically deadening out the human spirit. He knew that perhaps greater than the human inclination for evil was the inclination for indifference. British historian and Nazi Germany expert Ian Kershaw agrees when he wrote this, quote, "The road to Auschwitz was built by hate, but paved by indifference." And so today we ask ourselves, has world indifference eclipsed our hope for humanity? The supreme commander of the Allied forces, General Dwight Eisenhower, also understood, as Hitler did, the human inclination for indifference. But General Eisenhower was a man of hope. He was determined that witnessing was not going to be futile. And so with the U.S. Memorial Holocaust Museum in Washington, as it is shown to be a matter of history, that when General Eisenhower liberated the death camps in Nazi Germany, he ordered all photographs to be taken, all possible photographs, for the German people from surrounding villages to be ushered through the camps and even made to bury the dead. He did this because he said words to this effect, quote, "Get it all on record now, get the films, get the photos, get the witnesses, because somewhere down through the track of history, some bastard will get up and say that this never happened." He was prophetic in knowing that there would always be those filled with hate would deny what had been perpetrated. Even recent excavations of the Polish camp Treblinka, bulldozed by the Nazis in 1943, continue to show the world the truth about the Shoah. Several years ago, though, unfortunately, this is sad, the University of Kentucky removed the Holocaust from its school curriculum because it offended the Muslim population, which claims that it didn't happen. This is a frightening example of the fear that is gripping the world and how easily every single nation is giving into it. In order to approach the Shoah from a messianic Jewish perspective, I believe a good place to begin is understanding that the Shoah, it's a lot more than just man's inhumanity to man. It represents, my friends, an outpouring of demonic fury against the Jewish people. In a sense, if you've been with us for any length of time, it was just another one in a long line of efforts by the adversary and his force to obliterate our people. Why would he mark Israel, though, for such special truth? Well, we need to remember God's plan, Adonai's plan, to redeem man involves Israel. The scriptures and the Messiah came through Israel. So it shouldn't come as any surprise to us when we read about the historical persecutions of our Jewish people, notably most recently the 300-year period of the pogroms, where organized violent attacks targeting Jewish villages took place, partially, of course, initiated by local economic and political upheaval. But we've seen throughout time various hoaxes, various false charges, various libels, from the poisoning of the wells, the blood libel. They control the economy. They're not patriots. They don't fit in. The Jews killed Christ, to the protocols of the elders of Zion, a tract alleging a Jewish plot to achieve world domination, purportedly written by a secret group of Jewish people known as the elders of Zion. All of these were a precursor, lining up Adolf Hitler becoming chairman of the Nazi Party in 1921. Now, for most of us, many of us, our indoctrination, our introduction to the Shoah came in elementary school through newsreel footage and documentaries. These were, in middle school for me, gruesome footages, unedited, of the horrors of the Nazi death machine. But today, in San Diego, a generation is growing up without any Holocaust education. It's rarely even taught in our public schools at all. It's rarely discussed even outside Jewish circles. The memories of the atrocity of our time are fading, my friends, as the survivors die off. If we do not teach it, if we don't study it, if we don't memorialize those who died during it, if we don't celebrate the martyrs and the heroes, the liberators and the soldiers, freedom fighters of the ghettos, we will, in a sense, allow the stranglehold of Nazi evil to finish the task they began. A trip several of us took, actually it's been 10 years now, from Tree of Life. We went to the Auschwitz and Birkenau camps, and we walked in the footsteps of the millions that were killed. That was an experience our Tree of Life team will. Birkenau is where the largest number of killings happened. It's a place where the famous Dr. Joseph Mengele inspected millions as they arrived by trains, chose for them left, immediate death, or right, slave labor, starvation, disease. This Birkenau camp housed up to 90,000 prisoners at its capacity and could cremate 10,000 corpses a day, if desired by the Nazis. And I don't care how many pictures or how many films you've watched, when you walk the grounds and see the sheer magnitude of death, it changes you. It's the most horrifying, evil thing you will ever experience in your life. It is so hard to convey the appalling and disgusting nature of those camps. And when I came back from that trip, I showed many videos and pictures, which they don't like you taking, the Tree of Life. Now, an underlying but widespread resentment against God is endemic to most people who are directly or indirectly affected by the Nazis' mass extermination, including those whose arms are still tattooed and bear those tattooed numbers. Countless agnostics and atheists wish they could believe in God, and I've met them and you've met them, but they can't. The legacy of the Shoah has robbed numerous survivors from their birthright. What is that birthright? It's an abiding faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Messiah foretold by our ancient prophets. As we remember today what happened over 7 decades ago, we're not here, friends, to stand in judgment over Germany or any other nation, but to honor the memory of those who perished, to acknowledge our debt to God for saving us from, and as believers in Yeshua, to recognize the mercy by which we have become partaker in the good things to come. My friends, if we have hope, it's because of the sure promises of the Lord of heaven and earth, and we are called to be witnesses of that hope. I'm going to ask our readers to come forward. Shuli, if you would come forward as reader. We compiled a set of readings several years ago, adapted them for our use. And I'm glad to have more participation at this service, have it normal servants. So this candle lighting ceremony you will find in every Jewish community center. We've adapted this one today. So reader number one, if you'd come forward and light a candle and begin the readings. And I believe they will be on the screen as well for the rest of the country to follow along.
Today, we light memorial candles to those 6 million Jews dead and those who stood with them against evil and who died sanctifying the name of God. This candle of memorial reminds us that even one small light can help to conquer the darkness.
If I could light 6 men, allow my tears to flow without end, still the cry from the ground where the blood of the enemy was poured would not be drowned out. We who claim to follow the way of God must always.
For the Lord will make war with Amalek in every generation.
Are those who pursue justice and righteousness.
And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly as I say to you, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
The Christian religion, said Bishop Hulfric of Limburg, his letter of 1939, has not grown out of the nature of this people. Rather, it has had to make its way against.
The greatest miracle of the Bible, said Archbishop Conrad Grober, is that the true religion, Christianity, could hold its own and maintain itself against the voice of sin.
Odd, is it not, that neither Bishop Hulfric nor Archbishop Grober could explain away the embarrassing fact that Yeshua was a Jew?
Spoke out. Provost Bernard Schenberg of St. Hedwig's Cathedral in Berlin prayed for the Jews and non-Aryan Christians the morning after Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht is the night of shattering of glass, the night that shattered the Western soul. Provost Lichtenberg reflected, what took place yesterday we know. What will be tomorrow, we do not know. But what happens today, we have witnessed. Outside a synagogue is burning, and that also is a house of God. Cardinal Fallhaber of Munich also spoke out. History teaches us, he said, that God always punished tormentors. No Roman Catholic approves of the persecutions of the Jews. Racial hatred is a poisonous weed in our life. In October 1938, Cardinal Faulhaber provided a truck for the removal of the Torah and other religious objects from a synagogue when its rabbi thought it was in danger. Nazi mobs, infuriated by the cardinal's actions, demonstrated their anger in front of his home, shouting, "Away with Faulhaber, the Jew's friend." In recognition of the partnership of many German Christians with the Nazi, Lutheran pastors met in Stuttgart. One of them, a pastor, Niemöller, declared, "We are bound to the German people in a community of suffering, but also in solidarity of guilt."
In the most silent moment, in the darkest of night, a voice is heard from the depths of my soul.
Remember, remember, for if you do not remember, we can have no rest. Remember, remember, lest the world forget and relive.
Against the darkness of night, there are those who have managed to cleave to the light.
A voice is heard in Ramah. It is Rachel weeping for her children.
Pharaoh said, "Throw all the male children into the river, but the females keep alive."
And Herod threw all the male children under the age of...
Ukrainian guards took all the jewels, a boy by...
We are about to enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, do not be afraid. Fortunate are we that we have been found worthy to die as Jews. We will march straight to that place where rests the righteous, for whose sake God has allowed the world to endure.
Before the Ukrainian guards could move, Ephraim went up to the rabbi.
"Rabbi, please don't leave me. Take hold of my hand so that it won't be so hard to..."
And so the Jews of Lindvi, who were led by their rabbi and the little child, entered the cemetery. There,
men explained the fate awaiting them. Young women with children, middle-aged and old people were being selected and killed the same day. Cecile's mother also listened to the news. Immediately she ran over to Cecile's sister, who... "I have just heard from a prisoner that women will be spared hardly. Let me take little Danny. You are young, you'll survive. It's for the best. Now go." Cecile's mother did not take her sister object, but quickly removed the child from her arms and joined them with children. Walking off, she managed to yell to Cecile, "Take care of your sister." Though Cecile was... The mother knew the agonies that her Cecile's sister would suffer when she found out that Cecile's sister was only 21 years of age. That night, her mother and the son of her sister...
The Nazi reign of terror swirled like a sweeping everything and everyone into dark. The soldier was no respecter of person. The boots cared not what they crushed. The poor, the rich, the humble, the famous, the simple, the educated, those whose small contribution went unnoticed, and those whose talents had blessed nations. The concentration camp became the great equal. No longer did it matter who or what you were outside those walls. There, everyone shared the same simple desire to survive. Dignity was something buried deep, undernourished shell of...
The words of the dead came alive in the camps, shattering the power of the Nazis with their last breath, defying the power of the Nazis, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising has become in its way a bright moment during those dark times. Surely the captives in that small community concluded, it is better to die fighting, defending, resisting, than to suffer a humiliation that's even worse than... Poorly armed and underfed, the ghetto fighters withstood.
A mother's body cannot survive Siberia. A father and children came to America and planted eternal seed. The precious group came at faith and a sitter. Their family were a bastion, Torah and faith and...
So let us stand again and join together in reciting the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivot Mahalchuto Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Adonai hu Eloheinu. Adonai hu Eloheinu. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. May be seated.
The Kaddish is a prayer in Aramaic, which in Judaism has become associated with mourning. However, it is not a prayer which concerns itself with death, but rather a prayer of assurance and of praise for God. Perhaps tradition has made the Kaddish a gift to mourners, for at such times we need to be reminded that it is God who finally rules the world that it is God who will comfort the inconsolable, who will avenge the tyrant, who will right the wrongs and correct the injustices, that it is God who creates peace in heaven and on the earth, both in the world around us as well as within our hearts. We will recite the Kaddish together in English.
May his great name grow exalted and sanctified.
Germany, 195,000 Jews.
In the world that he created according to his will, may he establish his kingship.
Austria, 53,000.
In your lifetime and in your days, and during the lifetime of all the house of Israel.
Czechoslovakia, 255,000 Jews killed.
Swiftly and soon, and let us say, Amen.
Poland, 3,200,000.
May his great name be blessed.
USSR, 1,000,000.
Forever and ever.
France, 140,000 Jews killed.
Blessed, praised, glorified.
Belgium, 57,000.
Exalted, extolled.
Luxembourg, 3,000 Jews killed.
Mightily upraised and lauded.
Norway, 1,000 Jews.
Be the name of the Holy One, blessed is he.
Holland, 120,000 killed.
Beyond the voice of all.
Italy, 20,000 Jews killed.
Blessing and song.
Yugoslavia, 64,000.
Consolation.
Greece, 64,000.
Which are spoken in this world.
Bulgaria, 5,000 Jews killed.
May there be an abundance from heaven.
Romania, 530,000.
And life upon us and all Israel.
Hungary, 200,000 Jews killed.
For he who makes peace in the high heavens, may he keep peace upon us and all Israel. And let us say, Amen.
Dachau.
Buchenwald.
Sachsenhausen.
Ravensbrück.
Auschwitz.
Bergen-Belsen.
Flossenbürg.
Theresienstadt.
Survivor about the fire, the paper, and desperate brother died, the fire reached him.
A survivor will be very quiet, yet scream inside.
A survivor will cry and pretend to her children it is a headache.
A survivor will go to a funeral and cry, not for the one who died, but for those who died.
A survivor wakes in sweat from a night and will to sleep. In vain they chase his guests.
A survivor possesses one thing we do not, an utter fearlessness of death. For to the survivor, death signals a relief from the nightmare of the past.
Remember Yom HaShoah. If we remember, we proclaim and honor the name of God. Our Lord, our God, it is our hope and our prayer that in our days we will see the earth full of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We pray, Lord, for the soon return of the Messiah. For it has been foretold, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. On that day the Lord shall be one, and his name one. In honor of our fallen spiritual brothers and sisters, would you join with me and stand as we sing the national anthem of Israel, Hatikva, which means the hope.
Thank you.
thanks to God, is not lost. And so we recognize those who fell. And let us pray for those who fell, for grief, and that nothing like, remember, Am Israel Chai, Ki Od Avinu Chai. The people of God live because our God still lives. I'm going to ask Julie to stay up forward and to call her group alongside of us. Her Hebrew Talmidim, her students, will give some phrases to the description of the Shoah in Ivrit and Anglais.
The word is Machane Avoda, and it means labor camp, a penal institution for prisoners who are used as forced labor. The use of forced labor in Nazi Germany and throughout German-occupied Europe during World War II took place on an unprecedented scale. It was a vital part of the German economic exploitation of conquered territories. It also contributed to the mass extermination of populations in German-occupied Europe.
Lahafok lelonoshi means depriving personality or spirit. Basically, this means that dehumanization is the act of treating as less than, which was a major issue just. How the prisoners were labeled, the kind of humiliation they went through, the horrible physical destruction they...
Zok, genocide, systematic killing of a racial or cultural group. The term genocide did not exist before 1940. It's a very specific term referring to violent crimes committed against groups with the intent to destroy the existence of...
Hashpada, exterminate. The act of getting rid of by killing... Nazi Germany built extermination camps during World War II, 1939 to 45, to systematically kill millions of Jews, Gypsies, Slavs, Communists, and others whom the Nazis considered sub. The victims of what became known as the Holocaust were primarily killed by gassing, but also in mass execution through extreme work under starvation.
Pitaron Sofi, final solution. July 31st, 1941, Hermann Goering. Reinhard Heydrich, to prepare a plan for the final solution, Jewish question. In completion of the task which was entrusted to you on January 24th, 1939, of solving the Jewish question in the most convenient way possible, I now charge you with making all necessary preparations for an overall solution, Jewish problem. I further charge you with submitting to me promptly an overall plan for the execution, tended final solution, the Jewish question. Extract from Goering, for the Nazis' leadership, conventional killing methods were not effective in the mass murder of large numbers of people. On January 20th, 1942, 15 leading officials of the Nazi state met at a villa in Wannsee, a suburb of Berlin, to discuss the final solution of the Jewish people. The final solution was a code name. The murder of all the people present at the conference were to discuss how to mass murder happened methodic way. This is the future about liberation.
Shihrur, liberation. The act of freeing someone or something. Soviet soldiers were the first to liberate concentration camp prisoners in the final stages of the war. On July 23rd, 1944, entered the Majdanek camp in Poland and later overran several other killing centers. On January 27, 1945, they entered Auschwitz and there found hundreds of sick and exhausted prisoners. British, Canadian, American, and French troops also freed prisoners from the camp. The Americans were responsible for liberating Buchenwald and Dachau, while British forces entered Bergen-Belsen. Although the Germans had attempted to empty the camps of surviving prisoners and hide all evidence of their crimes, the Allied soldiers came upon thousands of dead bodies stacked up like cordwood, according to one American soldier. The prisoners who were still alive were living skeletons. Allied troops, physicians, and relief workers tried to provide nourishment for the surviving prisoners, but many of them were too weak to digest food and could not be saved. In spite of the liberators' efforts, many camp survivors died. Half of the prisoners discovered alive in Auschwitz died within a few days of being freed.
Lives in such a vicious manner, and we all say together,
Le'olam le'ol, never again.
Well, where did anti-Semitism come from? Sadly, Europe's anti-Semitism originated from the early church's theology that God has forsaken the Jews as his chosen people because of their sins and replaced them with the church. For hundreds of years, actually, Britain expelled all Jews from its kingdom. For 2,000 years, Our people were arrested, ghettoed, and murdered by so-called Christian Europe. A number of polls state that about 9% of Americans are prejudiced against Jews. Compared to 24% in Western Europe and 34% in Eastern Europe, America is a bastion of tolerance, isn't it? The 1.6 billion Muslims in the earth are born and raised to hate Jews and the Jewish state. If they are devout Muslims who study the Quran and follow Sharia law, they are taught it is their mission in life to destroy the Jewish people and the Zionist state. And like myself, many of you in the past have attended Yom HaShoah community, Yom HaShoah commemorations. And this, there was one that I attended back in 2012 in Jerusalem at Yad Vashem, the same one we showed the testimony, that was particularly moving. But in all of the Holocaust memorial services that we can avail ourselves to around the world, one area of Holocaust studies that has been neglected concerns Jewish believers. It is reputed that by the 1930s, listen to this, more than 200,000 Jewish people in Europe had embraced Yeshua. Now, we don't have any specific records of some of these Jewish believers who died at the hands of Hitler and his henchmen, but Jewish believers were not condemned because of their faith or religion, but because of their genetics. You see, this was a racial extermination based on the number of grandparents, not on the basis of one's faith and beliefs. Jewish people of all walks of life proceeded to the chambers of death together, and all are counted as part of the 6 million who perished in the Shoah. May their memories be a blessing. I was so thankful several years ago of the Jews for Jesus organization. They did a series of several articles that has profiled and brought this issue to the forefront. They wrote, quote, beginning in 1933, most Protestant clergy willingly accepted Hitler's racist view. The Nazi regime issued the Edict of April of 1933 called, quote, the Law for the Restoration of the Professional Civil Service. Many Protestant clergy members consequently agreed with the Nazi policy and chose to eject all pastors who had Jewish parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents. The church voluntarily Aryanized itself, immediately firing all pastors of Jewish descent in 1933. By 1935, all congregants of Jewish descent were expelled. Theologically and politically, the fate of Christians and Jews were bound together. But the tendency of most Germans, including those within the church, was to put an even greater distance between themselves and our Jews. Left to themselves, Jewish believers formed their own groups. Professor Kai Kirhansen has written about some of these groups in Theresienstadt, concentration camps, a small city in the German-occupied part of the Czech Republic. He writes, during the war, Theresienstadt was a Jewish ghetto and concentration camp. Quote, among those who died in Theresienstadt or were deported from Theresienstadt to the death camp Auschwitz or survived the horrors in Theresienstadt were individuals who were Christians of Jewish descent. It is tempting today to call them Messianic Jews, but this would not correspond with their self-perception. Like most other Jews in Germany, they saw themselves as German. Unlike most other German Jews, they were Jews who had embraced the Christian faith, some by conviction, others for pragmatic reasons. But in Theresienstadt, they shared the fate of Mosaic Jews. In the eyes of the Nazis, their Christian faith did not obliterate their Jew. Hans Werner Hirschberg arrived in Theresienstadt on February the 10th, 1944. He survived and he later wrote this, quote, one-tenth of the Jews who had been interned there belonged to a Christian confession. Some were Protestants, some Catholic. Among these Jews, there was a group of evangelical Jewish Christians from Holland, 400 in number, that distinguished themselves. They even had a Jewish Christian pastor with them. Many of our quote-unquote church members had, although they had been immersed, never really considered being followers of Jesus until they came to Theresienstadt. But here, under the influence of God's word, many of them were truly converted. Jews who had been Christians in name only became true Christians. Many Mosaic Jews and Jews who had no faith whatsoever found Yeshua and were saved in Theresienstadt. I am one of the few survivors from the concentration in Theresienstadt. Most of my brothers went home to be the Lord, but my Savior saved me out of this camp so that I might proclaim the wonderful things that he performed among those who were in the valley. Theresienstadt, friends, serves as a window into what happened to believers of Jewish descent during the Holocaust. It's estimated that as many as 10% of Jewish people in Nazi Germany believed in Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah, and they suffered, and they went to the, along with. I did some research into the mid-1940s some article from our own quarterly magazine of what is today the International Messianic Jewish Alliance. Back then it was known as the International Hebrew Christian Alliance. And from the April 1946 edition, Conrad Hoffman wrote this article, journal article entitled What I Saw in Europe. He says, Revelations of Belsen, Majdanek, Dachau, and Buchenwald struck horror into all of us. But ever since the early 30s, we had heard rumors from the concentration camps, but we would not credit the reports. The sense of decency inherent in all of us refused to believe the atrocity story. We remained complacent, just as the decent folk in Germany refused to credit the vile things of these camps. They were sure that such things could not happen in enlightened Germany. Even when confronted with irrefutable evidence of the degradation of sadism that had occurred, they remained doubting Thomas's. Great tales of heroism and martyrdom are emerging. A great epic story is that of two young folk of Holland who actually rescued 243 children. This is the Ten Boom. We know that in Belgium and France, some 11,000 orphan Jewish children were rescued, most of them thanks to Christian hospitality and care. It is true that as a result, many of these children have become Yeshua. And to date, we have only an inkling of the scope and magnitude of relief ministry rendered to Jewish refugees, young and old, by Christians in Sweden and Switzerland, in Poland, and even in Berlin. Anxious relatives abroad clamor for information. Remember, this is 1946, he's writing. They scan the lists of survivors found alive in the concentration camps when the United Nations' troops took possession. In Glasgow, I was a witness when such lists were posted by a local refugee relief agency. Sometime we should have an account of other colleagues who perished. Here is Mr. Schwartz, a Hebrew Christian, interned for 7 years in camps in Holland. After that experience, in his first letter to his daughter, whom we, the International Christian Alliance, helped to escape to Ireland where Christian friends provided for her, he wrote this, quote, gratefulness and happiness flow through my heart. Gratefulness to the Lord who has given us such good news. Words are quite inadequate to describe what we suffered during these 7 years. For the present, at least, I'm unable to write about it, for the written word completely fails me. If and when, by the grace of God, we meet again, perhaps we may be empowered to speak and to express in words what we have suffered and what we have experienced and felt. It is 3 weeks now that we have been free from the human or rather inhuman pressure, free from the menace to body and soul, free from the scourge of hunger. Slowly, hope begins to return to our hearts. Above all, hope of a reunion with our loved ones. Our trust in God, who has guided us safely through these terrible years, has not been in vain, even though the immediate future is dark and unknown. May God Almighty help us to attain to peace of mind and soul, and may the grace of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and His grace guide us over this part of our path. How many thousands of similar cases there must be. At present, many are homeless and wandering nomads all over Europe. Our task is to help rehabilitate into the normal life of Europe. And so our predecessors in the International Hebrew Christian Alliance raised funds for these displaced. Incredible. I could read you story after story of the late 1940s and the different reports that I had. But I wanted us to open our Bibles this morning as we attempt to put forward a proposal, our response to the theological problem. When we as a Messianic Jewish community began to become involved in a dialogue about Yeshua in the late 60s, early 70s, when a lot of Jewish people on the West Coast start getting born again of His Spirit, we began to dialogue with our people. And as genuine as that dialogue was and is among both parties, one of the recurring stumbling points is that we get asked all the time by our people, how can I believe in a God who allowed the... Dr. Michael Brown, one of the premier theologians in our movement, noted Jewish historian Stephen Katz, who's not a believer in Yeshua, but he provided a kind of a summary of major Jewish reflections on the Holocaust that our people considered. Number one, the Holocaust is like all other tragedies. This is one reason, and merely raises again the questions of theodicy and the problem of evil, but it does not significantly alter the problem or contribute anything new to it. This is one summary reflecting major Jewish reflections on the Holocaust. Number two, the classical Jewish theological doctrine of mipnei cha'atenu, because of our sins we were punished, which was evolved in the face of earlier national calamities, can also be applied to the Holocaust. According to this account, Israel was sinful, and Auschwitz is her just retribution. It is a Jewish reflection on the Holocaust. Number three, the Holocaust is the ultimate and vicarious atonement. Israel is the suffering servant of Isaiah. She suffers and atones for the sins of others. Some die that others might be cleansed and live. Number four, the Holocaust is a modern akidah, the sacrifice of Isaac. It is a test of our faith. Number five, the Holocaust is an instance of the temporary eclipse of God. There are times when God is inexplicably absent from history or unaccountably chooses to turn his face away. Number six, the Holocaust is proof that God is dead. And this is a major one in our generation. If there was a God, he surely would have prevented Auschwitz. If he did not, then he does not exist. And number seven, the Holocaust is the maximization of human evil, the price mankind has to pay for human freedom. The Nazis were men, not gods. Auschwitz reflects ignominiously on man. It does not touch God's existence or perfection. Number eight, the Holocaust is revelation. It issues a call for Jewish affirmation. For Auschwitz comes the command, survive. And finally, number nine, traditional Jewish argument. The Holocaust is an inscrutable mystery. Like all of God's ways, it transcends human understanding and demands faith and silence. And those are the traditional answers that you will receive when speaking with our people. But we have to go beyond these types of answers and questions and statements, I believe, humbly but firmly, as a messianic community, to move hopefully beyond the pain, beyond the emotions of the issues, to wrestle with God and wrestle with what his word has to say about it. And I believe strongly that in the answer lies the key to our Jewish people turning back to him. And we know that the vast majority of Holocaust survivors became atheists. God does not exist. They became agnostics. God is unknowable. And they were once very religious. And again, their reasoning, as I've already mentioned, if a God such as described in these scriptures does exist, he would never have let the Holocaust occur. If this God chose Israel as his segula, as his peculiar treasure, how could he have allowed a disaster of this magnitude, unimaginable proportions to take place? And their conclusion, which they have summed up in our generation, is there is no God. But why then? If the people of Israel, as they said correctly, are God's segula, his unique treasure, as the Torah says, why did he allow the Holocaust to occur? You see, our cultural mantra today and has been never forget. And so we build memorials and we build museums and we keep the history alive and we have services. And all the while we claim, and the Jewish community claims, that education is the sole answer. But it's not enough. We need to know its purpose. And when asked about what I want to present to you today, Elie Wiesel answered, I refuse to consider that. And his response explicitly exemplifies how profoundly the horror of the Shoah have influenced the beliefs among. But I believe we need to consider it just might be part of the. And it lies in understanding requirements and the condition of two of God's covenant, Israel. And quickly went to Genesis chapter, the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant was unconditional. The summary of it is that Hashem will be God to the children of Abraham forever. And he will prosper them. He will bless them. And will give them their own land. Eretz Yisrael. And the only requirement for a natural son of Abraham to be a beneficiary of this covenant is circumcision. Genesis 17 verse. This is my covenant that you must keep between me and you and your seed after you. All your males must be circumcised. You must be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and this will become a sign of the covenant between me and you. Also, your 8-day-olds must be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, including a house-born slave or a slave bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your seed. Your house-born slave and your purchased slave must surely be circumcised. So my covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And so it's because of this everlasting covenant that our people exist today. This covenant can never be annulled by, as Adonai swore an oath concerning. But some 430 years later, Adonai makes a second brit, a second covenant with Israel through Moshe Rabbeinu. And this covenant, unlike the Abrahamic covenant, was very conditional. Now, before we review it quickly, this Mosaic covenant, I want to say I'm not legitimatizing the Shoah of our people theologically. That's not what I'm doing here. As you recall, as we read, countless massacres took place among those who were not Jewish, gypsies, etc. But traditional Jewish theology has interpreted every major calamity in Jewish history as God's punishment of a sinful Israel. But many of our Jewish people fail to see how that position, which is in their scriptures and in our scriptures, can be maintained without regarding Hitler and his SS men as instruments of God's will. It's simply an obscene idea for the good portion But I believe as a messianic movement, we need to, along with the rest of Judaism, we need to wrestle with the Torah and with conclusions. So go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We begin in verse 1. Now, if you will listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, Moses writes, taking care to do all of its mitzvot, commandments that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you will listen to the voice of Adonai your God. And you can take a look through those lists of blessings in verse 3 and forward. But then we come to verse 15 where it says, but if you will not listen to the voice of Adonai your God to take care to do all of its mitzvot and statutes that I'm commanding you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Listen to a few of the curses. Verse 15, then Adonai will make your plagues and the plagues of your descendants extraordinary, terrible and prolonged plagues, severe and prolonged illnesses. Verse 62, you will be left few in number instead of being like the stars of the sky in number because you did not listen to the voice of Adonai your God. Now, just as Adonai rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Adonai will rejoice over you to ruin and destroy you, and you will be uprooted from the land that you are going in to possess. Adonai will scatter you among all peoples from the one end of the earth to the other. And there you will serve other gods, wood and stone, that you and your fathers have not known. Among those nations, these nations, you will find no rest. And there will be no rest for the sole of your foot. But there Adonai will give you a trembling heart and failing eyes and a despairing spirit. Your life will hang in the balance before you. You will be afraid night and day, and you will have no assurance of your life. These verses explain the history of Israel for the last 3,300 years. And so our Jewish people collectively have not seen here the association between the breaking of Torah and the suffering of our people. Look at verse 45. All these curses will come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not listen to the voice of Adonai your God to keep his mitzvot and statutes that he commanded. Likewise, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 said something very similar. He said, speak kindly to the heart of Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, for she has received from Adonai's hand double for all her sins. You got a lot of people going through conversions to Judaism today. Read that verse. That is not a thrill. God did not expect complete perfection from us. He simply required a sincere, simple, and continued effort to do all that he commanded and asked of us. But since we transgressed Adonai, why did God then not let us be completely destroyed? Why? Because the Abrahamic covenant 430 years earlier is still in force. And yet we'll fulfill God's plan for us as his chosen people. Rav Shaul, or Paul, summed it up like this to the Galatian community. What I'm saying is this Torah, which came 430 years later, does not cancel the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, previously confirmed by God as to make the promise ineffective. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer a promise, but God has graciously given it to Abraham's promise. We have been punished. Israel has been punished for breaking the Mosaic covenant. But because of the earlier Abrahamic covenant, God is going to reestablish his covenant that provides that our people are going to come back. Here's that promise. Ezekiel chapter 16. For just thus says Adonai Elohim, I will do to you just as you have done since you despise the oath by breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of. Moreover, I will establish an everlasting covenant. So I will establish my covenant with you, and you will know that I am Adonai. So you will remember, be ashamed, and never open your mouth again because of your disgrace when I have forgiven all that you've done. It's a declaration of the Lord. This covenant is extrapolated in Jeremiah 31. It provides our people's release from the curses of the Mosaic covenant, which, by the way, we know occurs in Yeshua, in order that the promises of the Abrahamic covenant might be fully implemented. This Jeremiah 31 promise states that our Jewish people shall always be an identifiable people before the nations of the earth. You see, if the Jewish people go by the way of the Babylonians, the Hittites, the Ninevites, etc., God's promises would be nullified. Hasatan would essentially have a stalemate with God. And thus, in his desperate attempt to prevent Messiah's return, Hasatan is doing all that he can to destroy Israel, to destroy the Jewish people. Do you see this? Adonai wanted the state of Israel to be born. And by the way, that's what we're going to be celebrating next Shabbat. I want to encourage you to be here next Shabbat because the mood is going to shift radically. You're going to be like in Tel Aviv at a falafel stand. We're going to have falafel after the service, an Israeli salad. God wanted the state of Israel to be born. And in his mercy, he sent the fishermen. He talked about this. Jeremiah 16, 16. He sent the fishermen. Theodor Herzl, the founder of the World Zionist Organization. Zev Jabotinsky, the leader of the early Zionist movement. They were sent by the Lord in the early 20th century to be these early fishermen. Others came before the Second World War. They said to our Jewish people, hey, listen, you've got to go home to the land of your father. You need to get out of here now. And God prophetically promised that he would then, after sending those fishermen, he would send the hunters. That's Jeremiah. And so we have seen the establishment of the state of Israel in our generation. We have seen what the prophets talked about, that the desert would blossom as the rose. God's at work, even in this very difficult season, for Israel to bring about all that his covenants contain. That's my proposal. Mom, would you come forward? I'm going to ask us, I'm going to close in prayer. I want to thank you for being here, especially. Maybe it's one of the more important services we do all year. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, your word says that Hasatan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come. Father, if there's anything to prayer of our nations, prayer of our cities, we believe there is much application here. Father, we lift up the city of San Diego where we reside. 89,000 Jewish people. We know much about our population through various Jewish studies that have come out in our city. We know how many atheists. We know what parts of the county they live in. We know how many agnostics. We know how many Reform, Orthodox, traditional, conservative, humanistic. We know. And we recognize, Lord, that many see the Shoah as a stumbling stone to the words of Yeshua and to his message of eternal life. We have missed it as a people, oh God. We have, and our sins are written about in this book for the whole world to see. But we thank you for the Abrahamic covenant. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided a Brit Chadashah, a new covenant through Jeremiah, that we would know you in a way even that our parents have not known you in a very intimate way. So Lord, would you go deep into the hearts of our people all throughout our county and our city, even right now. Touch our people. Cause a revelation of you to come forth, that you are truly the creator of this universe and you have a master plan. Thank you for the state of Israel being born through such a calamity. Man's humanity to man, paralleled with scriptural injunctions that we just don't want to look at, for it's too painful. So Lord, I thank you that you're saving people in this generation. 200,000 Jewish believers in Europe prior to the Second World War, millions even in that first century. And so, Father, as you rebuild our people back, breathe life into dry bones beginning today as well. I thank you that we can honor the martyrs and the liberators and the ghetto fighter, this 96-year-old survivor, to see the blossoming of his family, even though he was the only survivor, and to see what you've done since. So, Lord, let us continue grappling with your word. Let's continue seeking answers. They're all in here, oh God. Thank you that we can play a part in restoring the breach between a God who loves us and a devil who hates. Let us be repairers of the breach in every neighborhood, every workplace, in our city. We might be salt and light, proclaiming the good news, good God, who sent his best, his son Yeshua, to die and be raised in him as life. Would you stand with me today and receive God's blessing over your life? God told Moses in the days of Torah to tell his brother Aaron how to bless Israel. These are his words. This is his blessing. Yivarecheche Adonai vayishmarecha Yo'er Adonai panvelecha vichunecha Yisha Adonai panvelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May Adonai bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Adonai lift up his countenance over you and grant you in the name of the Prince of all peace who are with. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Thanks for joining us this week. Make sure to visit our website, treeoflifeca.org, and be sure to subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google, Spotify, or via RSS. so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you've found value in this show, we'd appreciate a ratings on iTunes, or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Tree of Life Messianic Jewish Congregation, to see more content, including our weekly live stream. Be sure to tune in for our next episode as we continue to explore our Jewish roots through Scripture.